You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Welcome into 11 Personnel presented by Monticello Bank. Love me some Monticello Bank. Love me some football. We're going to talk some football. I'm Nick Roush. He's Adam Luckett. We got some stuff on the table, Luckett, tonight. A few topics we're going to touch on, but we get to open up the mailbag. I'm excited to open up this mailbag, and because we answer questions each week, but Luckett, the KS board, they really came through for us tonight.
Yeah, we got a nice little interesting bundle of questions, so excited to open this up. I think this will be something, Nick, we do a couple times this offseason. Just when things slowed down a little bit, and it slowed down somewhat. Not a ton, but it has slowed down here. So we're just going to talk about some of the recent developments this week and get into some questions from our friends and followers and family over there at KS Board.
Yep, and if you aren't on KS Board, you should be on KS Board. Go ahead, give it a try. Just like you should give Monticello Bank a try. We're really happy that they're with us here on 11 Personnel. They go wherever the Wildcats fans go. Just get the NBC, Go NBC mobile app. Bank at home or at the game. And if you need to come see Monticello Bank, just right around the corner with 21 locations across the Commonwealth. I'm going to RUP tomorrow night. Very excited about that. So I can bank from my phone there if I need to. They do the thing now to Luckett where it's cardless or cashless, which yes. Just it makes the old man bones in my body just rattle. I can't stand it. So, but hey, at least I can mobile bank with the GoNBC mobile app. Monticello Bank for 128 years, it's where people matter. It's competitive loans and deposit rates, as well as a wide variety of customer-focused financial services, making your life a little bit easier. Stop by, visit them. NBCBank.com today. Monticello Bank, where people matter. Member FDIC, equal housing lender. And seriously, like it, I cannot stand cashless. I want to go to something and give you cash, and you're not going to take it. This is legal tender in the United States. Damn it, you should have to accept it.
Are you going to get your first beer in RUP Arena?
Yeah, I got to.
Are you going to pour it on your soft serve ice cream cone?
Dude, RUP Arena ice cream sucks.
Hold the sprinkles. Give me some Bud Light. Right there on the ice cream.
I don't know if we've talked about it on here or not, but like, I'd rather eat Dairy Queen soft serve, McDonald's soft serve. It's all better. The stuff at,
I've never had it. I've never had the RUP Arena soft serve.
It's just like, imagine what good soft serve is, and it's lighter and has less flavor, and that's what RUP Arena ice cream is. It's not anything special. So. And I'm not trying to be takey. Like, that is the most factual thing you'll hear from this reporter's mouth. Just okay. Not good. Just like Tennessee football. Not good at just doing the football thing without cheating. What's their deal? Like, is it that bad over there that they're that desperate? They're like, well, we just got to cheat our asses off or else we're toast.
Yeah, this one here, Nick, I'll be interested to see some more details whenever they come out. Now, part of this does have the smell of that they're using maybe a media report to, like, scare people. Like, hey, look at us here. We're investigating you. But this, like, to me, it's like Tennessee went out and bragged about signing Nico for $8 million.
Yeah. We'll get all this money we got to spend on people.
Right. It was, and part of the reporting of that was, look at how we wrote up this contract. We found the loophole. I think they were bragging about it, and I think that's why – the NCAA is investigating them. And it's the same thing with Florida and Jaden Rashada. Like, of course they're going to investigate whatever that was down there, right? You know, the guarantee would be over. He was $15 million. That's really all this is to me. We'll see if anything comes of it. It's NCAA's in a weird spot because there's definitely a lot of people that are like, we need guardrails. Like, y'all need to do something. And then when they go try to do this something to a university or institution or an entity, they tell them to piss off and threaten to sue them and all of this. So it's really all a mess. And I'm just interested to see how this and the Florida one transpire. I think Florida State was different because they kind of caught the offensive line coach, and so they just slapped him on the wrist. But I think Tennessee is going to fight this. I don't know about Florida, but Tennessee's for sure going to fight this because they don't want to get hit with the repeater penalty, right? I mean, they just we saw that what happened with Louisville. They could definitely get a bowl ban this time around, and one of the coaches or somebody could get in trouble. They could have another hefty fine. They don't want to do that because they feel like they finally got it humming right now. And so it's going to be an interesting, I think, case to watch. But it's to me, NCAA, if you had one of these reports where you were essentially bragging about your NIL situation, I'm sure we're going to get an A&M investigation here pretty soon too. And so I think that's really what this is about. And I don't want to read too much into it other than that. I think that's what it was. Like, they went out and said, hey, look, we signed an $8 million quarterback. So NCAA is going to be like, well, how'd that work? Let's find out.
That, and I think a lot of it, I remember before Andy Staples came to On Three when he was at The Athletic, he did a lot of reporting. I think it was in the Rashada one or was in the Nico one. But basically The Athletic, all of these NIL collectives were just spilling the beans on how they work.
They let them look at the contracts. You can go back and read the reports that The Athletic had on, I think, Nico and Rashada at Florida.
Yeah, where they got into the specifics of it when I think they thought, okay, well, this is NIL, so it's all legal, so we're going to show. There still needs to be some operating in the shadows. And they didn't realize, like, ooh, we don't need to put cash in McDonald's bags, but, you know, maybe let's not open up the
right, that's going to be Tennessee's case. It's going to be, you all didn't give us any guardrails or rules, guidelines. It was, everyone was just trying to figure out on the fly. So how are you going to punish us for something where there was no rules in that space or during that time period? So that is going to be their rebuttal. But it could get messy because Tennessee would be willing to fight them because of what everything they have going on and their special circumstance, being that they just essentially told on themselves so they could fire Jeremy Pruitt, right?
Yeah.
And so they don't want to get hit with a double tap here. So they're going to fight it tooth and nail. So it's going to be an interesting one to follow. Where, like, Florida, who knows with Florida, Nick? Like, they might be like, yeah, we'll take it. And then that can help them get out of the neighbor bout potentially.
Here's
if you want
to
go down
thing
that road.
To look at, this is, I mean, this is obviously different circumstances, but you know, the Big Ten commissioner went out of his way to punish Harbaugh when he could instead of waiting until after the season. We all know it's about the volleyball player. That team's going to be 100% centered around Nico. I don't think the NCAA is going to come after him that hard, that fast. But it's no longer unprecedented to go after somebody right now. And not to say that I would be cheering for that, but it, you know, if Tennessee has to play a backup quarterback all year, I mean, I would not be heartbroken whatsoever. So, something to keep an eye on there. It's still early. It was just reported that the NCAA is, in fact, investigating. But, yeah, apparently they are saying there's rules to nil. So, we'll see. The biggest news, so tomorrow, it's a little bit of a weird week because of the basketball game. Tomorrow, we're talking to all of the transfer portal additions. We're going to do long interviews with them. And then on Saturday, it's a big junior day. A lot of kids on campus. Once again, another plug for KS Board because there's a lot of talented kids. They're going to be there over the weekend. I think the list is up to about like 20 or so of just guys that we know. That's what's happening this weekend along with Senior Bowl and Shrine Bowl, which, look, I got a weird feeling that Leary's going to end up getting a combat invite. He's been the best quarterback at the Shrine Bowl.
I was all into Senior Bowl coverage this week. Haven't really dug too deep in what's going on out there at the Shrine Bowl. And I believe that's in Dallas at the Cowboys facility.
Yeah, yeah.
So, yeah, I wouldn't be surprised, Nick. There are, you know this, there are some random quarterbacks that get invited to that. So
remember the kid,
they have to have so
Hawaii
many there.
What was his name that we
talked
about?
That's exactly who it was, Cole McDonald.
Yeah, yeah. He got invited to come. And the thing, Leary threw a, he threw a pass. Like, they do all the advanced, I don't know how they measure all this stuff, but his spin rate, he had more RPM than anybody in the years they've tested it out there, more than DTR. He threw a pass 79 miles an hour coming out of his hands, and it averaged 49 miles an hour throughout the throw. So, and he had another one in 7-on-7 where it was cover two, and he split the safeties, put it right in between all three guys. So I have a feeling he's ultimately going to end up getting a combine invite. And then you mentioned the Senior Bowl. The meat and potatoes is the practices that's going on Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday. And could be a big week for Ray Davis down there. Yeah. He did a lot to help himself with his pass-catching ability in the regular season, and now it's just a matter of what can you show us here in Mobile. And it sounds like he had a solid first day down in Mobile.
With Leary, the fact that he's performing well in that type of setting, practice setting, I don't think should surprise us. Go back to August. Right? Right?
Yep.
I mean, there was legitimate – they were pumping out at least, or what we heard, that everyone thought that at least that we got hold, that this guy was going to be really, really good for Kentucky. And that's not necessarily what happened. And so that maybe that he's performing well, and I think in some of these 7-on-7s and situations like this, that doesn't really surprise me. So, I mean, good for him taking advantage of his opportunity. And, yeah, I could definitely see him getting to the Senior Bowl. Just look at his career accomplishments, man. I mean, he's thrown for a ton of yards, 60, yeah. 70 career touchdowns. It's not like he's not an accomplished quarterback. And then the 2021 tape and numbers are going to hook a lot of people. And so I wouldn't be surprised if we see him out there or up there in Indy.
Yeah.
What is that, about a month away, a little over a month?
Yeah, the first drills will be like the 1st of March on the field. So
about like Wednesday or Thursday, yeah.
Yeah, Jeremy Flax got the invite to the combine, and as Scott said on the chat, is totally unexpected. I mean, you just got to give credit to that guy for – I mean, we didn't even think he was going to be able to start Luckett, and like this guy could get drafted.
Yeah, it could be. I think it could be 7 OL picks in the last 6 years, and they had one from a 30-year stretch, which was Larry Warford, from 1994 until that this run started. I think in 2015 or 2019.
Yeah, Larry broke a huge drought when he got drafted.
So that could be a nice development. I think with Flaxnick, you just look at the size. 6'5", 6'6", 350 pounds. They don't make many human beings that size, and he was a 2-year starter in the SEC, and he improved this year. He was, I think, a middle-of-the-road tackle in the conference, and there's not a lot of tackle depth in the NFL. Everyone's looking for these guys, and so I think if he has a good pre-draft process, he's got a great chance to get picked on late day three.
Yeah, if he gets in good shape and and that was a lot of the talking point, but I think the improvement aspect is important. Even though he's older, I think he was a late football player, right? He started at JUCO, so he could have that going for me. But if you can't tell, we're a little excited about getting to the next, like just kind of going through, like the Senior Bowl stuff. It gets my brain ready for draft talk. We had what's his name, Daniel Jeremiah, release his top 50 prospects today. You're getting Kuiper's first board. So, like, I'm starting to, it's kind of like flipping the switch when college basketball season starts.
The juices are flowing.
Yeah.
I mean, it's one of my favorite parts of the year is draft and everything that comes with it. I love this. I watch every pick. I watch all 3 days when it airs. So I love this part of the season. I love going to the combine, love doing all that. So this is going to be a fun time.
I love that.
We'll get it for those new listening to us. We go more all out on draft coverage than any other, I would say, almost college football podcast does. Like, we will very deeply dive into this. And so I'm looking forward to it. Even without Kentucky maybe having two, maybe any day one or day two picks, we're still going to get get after it a little bit.
There's fun people in this too. There's a lot of quarterback debate, right? Like,
I mean, just the tackles. There's if you need a tackle, this is
Fatu. Yeah,
this is a great draft to get him in. The guy who's still in some
Bengals.
Yeah, so he's still in some noise right now is the guy from Oregon State, Fuaga, who's just a monster of a human being. Watched him some today. He looked really good.
I got Fuaga and Fatu's the UCLA guy, right? Is he an edge?
Latu, yeah. They were that. See, that was the two big guys going at each other at the Senior Bowl today.
I get my wires crossed. Forgive me. I think it's understandable why. I was happy to see Malachi Corley in that top 50. I knew that when he announced to come back, it was significant.
Western, he reportedly had a good day out there.
Yeah, I didn't expect him to be a potential day two guy.
Yeah, he's going to be a second round pick as of right now.
Yeah, it's just pretty awesome. So we'll get more into the weeds as that gets closer, obviously, and you know we get a little bit more meat off the bone. Talk about Senior Bowl briefly. Luckett, we had Mark Stoops did his BB and Tonight interview. It was the let's announce Eric Wolford, and then we're going to. You know, I got to do my talking, right? We got complete autonomy for Liam Cohen, and we've got, heavy hand for Eric Wolford. And, you know, you can't be too sensitive in this business. Yeah, which Scott also asked a question earlier, and I keep shouting out Scott because he's always in the chat every week. I don't know if he's on KS Board or not, but wanted to shout him out there because he was like, was Yenzer missing on portal OTs or portal targets, period, a reason why they moved on? And like it, I think Wolford makes it abundantly clear the portal isn't the problem. It's the high school stuff. And on day one, Wolford's making it known that he's going to swing for the fences. And I don't know how much of a puncher's shot Kentucky has for a lot of those guys he offered on day one. But that was a clear statement that the recruiting from the high school ranks is going to be better with Eric Wolford coaching with his heavy hand on that offensive line.
Yeah, I wrote about this on Friday. New column I started at KSR Plus. It's going to be this week in college football. Basically, once a week, I'm just going to write about everything I think you should know going on in college football. And we're always going to touch on Kentucky. And so this week, I touched on Wolford. And basically, Nick, I think Stoops and Cohen are betting on a known commodity here. They know Eric Wolford can recruit. They know he can go out and get guys. Despite there being improvement on the offensive line last year, they never wanted to give that group any credit after games. And to me, a lot of that was there wasn't the physical domination at the point of attack that they want to have. There wasn't the Dan Campbell, I'm going to kick your ass energy. Mm-hmm. Yeah. In that room.
Fighting kneecaps.
And I think they think Wolford can bring that to them. So, And there's work experience there, the long experience with Stoops, obviously, and the heavy Youngstown flavor over there at that football facility. But you also have OL and coordinator experience here, too, with them working together in 2021. So Cohen knows what he's getting into. Stoops knows what he's getting into with the change. And I think that's really what it was all about to me. It was about recruiting, number one. And then, number two, I think the mindset they want, they think he can help bring. And I think that heavy hand stuff, I mean, we heard discipline. They had discipline discipline problems. They've been upfront about that. They feel like he can at least help with that in some regard.
Yeah, and if you watched the interview, I thought it was pretty good, right? Like, Stoops was pretty matter-of-fact in his approach, and if you needed those answers, I think he was pretty forthcoming on them. And, you know, like, I learned more about the situation. We all probably said things we didn't want to, we shouldn't have said. We did things, we wish we would have done things differently, but we're moving on. We're going to move on to, I feel like I've talked about it till I'm blue in the face already, even though it's just happened. So let's go ahead and get refocused with our friends at Refocus Fitness. You've heard me talk about them for the last couple of weeks now. And look at, I've personally refocused my fitness a little bit, and it's to the point where I hate how much better I feel with just a good old-fashioned diet and exercise. Like, just the more natural energy, right? Like, you just feel better if you're living a little bit healthier. And Refocus Fitness, they can help get you there with personalized workout plans. You meet with a trainer. There's no awkward stares. It's just the experts guiding you along the way, because each person, you need your own individual plan. It's not one size fits all. And with that, you got 24/7 access to the gym. You can work out together by yourself with a trainer. You can work in small groups together, make friendly little competition, or you can just be there when nobody else is there, right? Yeah, maybe you're on the treadmill right now out there right off Nicholas Hill Road watching us, which I think that'd be a great way to work out, if I do say so myself. So go ahead.
Keep going. Second win. Let's go.
Give Refocus Fitness a try. No contracts, hidden fees, or straight startup costs. Just contact them today at refocusfitness.com. Refocusfitness.com. Look, that is awesome whenever they have pro day and you're just in, they're doing the bench press and everybody's just like, come on, let's go. Love that. Love the camaraderie.
Yeah. So the only thing about that is they've pretty much eliminated the bench press from the combine.
It's, yeah.
And that stinks.
Yeah, we need that.
Yeah. Because they have the whole auditorium set up. Like, it's like going and watching a, you know, like a tennis match or something. That's how it gets built around. And it's just a bench in the middle.
Yeah, yeah. Just dudes lifting weight. And then you get random fans cheering. Yeah. And it's like a who's who of watching. I remember seeing the Ryan brothers in the stands watching one of the first years I was there. So that part is a shame. But I like the camaraderie. I like the sense of community. We got that on KS Border. We had a lot of great questions from our members. First one was a great one, which brings up Lance Thompson from Maryland. Any more staff changes to come?
Never say never.
Yeah, it was unusual. A Maryland linebackers coach just started following me, you, bunch of Kentucky football media on Twitter.
when did Steve Klinkscale bolt for Michigan?
Oh, that was late. That was because Collins didn't get hired until after spring practice. That was like May. So
this was right around the time that
Wolf left. And remember Jamal Singleton, that guy who was Kentucky's running backs coach
for like a week? Yeah.
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 Before he went to the Eagles. So I don't think the timing would be all that unusual, but it's just like, well, who's he coming here for? Because this guy was known as a recruiter when he was at Alabama, so I don't think he would demote himself to be a QC. So who's he replacing?
Yeah, I don't think Mike Stoops is retiring. I don't think he's leaving for another job. Mike Stoops does have defensive back coach experience, so maybe it's something like that, or
Brad White be just a coordinator, not a position coach, but they already have the extra assistant over there, so I don't know. I mean, we have to wait and see, but that was an odd development, I will say. Sometimes you'll get random follows like that, Nick, if Kentucky's recruiting a player.
Yeah.
So, and say it's Kentucky versus Maryland in this case, right? If Kentucky and Maryland are in on the same guy. But it was that he's followed pretty much. Well, he hasn't followed me yet. So, Lance Thompson is something against me, apparently. Wow. But I guess I'm not big time enough for Mr. Lance Thompson. But that he's followed as many. I mean, you can go and see on his Twitter X profile right now. I mean, he's
it was like a dozen guys in a 5 minute span. He was just like, let me see what all the Kentucky people are talking about. It is noteworthy though that he coached with Mike Stoops at FAU. He coached with Wolford at South Carolina. So I don't know. It would be pure speculation as to who he would replace and how the deck would be reshuffled. But
never say never.
Yeah, Yeah.
We don't know. So we'll just have to see how it plays out.
Peyton wants to know how Cohen's going to utilize the different skill sets in the wide receiver room, which I think is a great question, Luckett, and I don't think you're going to have them ever go on the record giving out specific roles because they don't – receivers are divas, right? They don't they don't want to make anybody mad. But, yeah, I don't know because they don't have a true slot other than Anthony Brown Stevens, but they do have a lot of fast guys. So which one do they try to get over there? Do they play more – do they stay in more 12 personnel? I wouldn't think so. So I that's a great question, Peyton, because I don't have a good answer right now other than maybe telling Macklin, like, hey, you might be better off if you try this out, or telling that to Berrion. But, like, has Berrion shown you that he can be a route runner to play slot? No. So I don't – yeah, that's a great question.
Yeah, I think you kind of have to get yourself out of thinking of it as we have to have a position and a player has to check these boxes. I think all of these guys are going to be a little bit interchangeable in how they run the offense. I think they'll even probably give Dan Key some big slot looks.
Big slot. That would make sense. He's a good route runner.
So I think you're going to see it mixed up because Macklin has – I think top end vertical playmaking ability over the top. So I think they're going to want to use him in that type of role. But I also think they're probably going to want to use him in the slot. And I think the same for Berrion Brown. Like, for Berrion, you got to find out, like, to me, it's almost like he struggles with jams and all that. Maybe we got to get him some free access off the line. So how do you do that? Maybe put him in stacks, bunches, whatever. I think they're just going to be interchangeable there, Nick. I think you're right. Anthony Brown Stevens is their one true slot. And so for him, he might have a chance to carve out a role as kind of their go-to guy that can get open on option routes underneath. But I just think you know who the top three are. And that's where the target, the top, when we finish this season and the target numbers are out, those three guys will have a top target. So I wouldn't get too worried about who's playing Z, who's playing X, who's playing slot.
My only worry would be that the best wide receiver play we've seen at Kentucky was from a slot receiver. And so I think in our brains, we're just programmed like, well, you kind of have got to have a good slot. I don't think that's a necessity, but they've been successful, you know? Chase says South Carolina is about to beat Tennessee.
They are. I got it on the iPad here. They're up 3 with 23 seconds left, and they're at the line.
Man, I thought that was a stinky line, too. I was like, well, just take Tennessee at home. Surely they'll take care of business. If they win that game, either way, Tennessee's going to be ready against Kentucky. But why wasn't South Carolina ranked?
What? It's good for the SEC championship race here.
Yeah.
You needed Tennessee to take a loss. South Carolina, their losses will come. Right, you'd have to think. So I think it's good to get Tennessee knocked down a peg. So it's good news, I think, for Kentucky in that SEC title hunt. Because then you win on Saturday. You win tomorrow. You win on Saturday night. You've got a real chance, I think, to go make a run at the title. If Tennessee was going to rip off a bunch of wins, it was going to make it tougher since you're probably at best splitting with them since you got to go down there to Knoxville.
So, yeah, that'd be nice. South Carolina just taking care of both Kentucky and Tennessee. What a wild year in SEC basketball. We want to get back to the questions. We got some good back-to-back here from Steph's and KS Board superstar Bagel Boy McCoy, who Steph's asked, how high is the ceiling for the class of 25? Just talking about what we've seen, kind of the guys we've seen him visit so far, and you already got a quarterback in the fold. Then Bagel said, How many hundreds of mediocre 2025 quarterbacks will we waste jet fuel on recruiting? Which, love the snarkiness from Bagel. But there is something too, just like, look at, there's part of me that's like, why are they wasting their time with these 25 quarterback recruits? But the other part of me is like, well, you got to do it. Like, why wouldn't you do it? You just, that's just what you have to do. But I will say, I'm I'm publicly stating this. I do not want Ryan Montgomery. I don't want to deal with him. When he said today that what was the quote he gave to Jeremy Johnson after visiting Georgia? It's not going to be over until I sign. Like, I'm good. Okay, you're fine. Beamer, go play that game. Kirby ain't going to play that game, right? Like, unless he wants to be one of multiple quarterbacks down there. I don't want to bother with having to keep up with all of that. So just letting that be known.
On the Kentucky side of things, eventually, Nick, they have to sign two quarterbacks in a class and keep both of those guys around a couple years. Other schools do it. They need to be able to do it. They have two scholarship quarterbacks on the roster right now. I think it's definitely a need to sign two quarterbacks in this high school cycle.
I also don't know if you're going to – like, where Stone Saunders is ranked, which is, like, right around the fringe top 300, I don't know how much you're going to be able to get somebody better than him. I don't know. We'll wait and see. But to Steph's point, like, when you just look at what they've got out there right now, like, it, as the board's taking shape, it's almost a positive and a negative that, like, the really top-end guys in Ohio are so good. Like, the kid from Toledo, the offensive lineman, Carter Lowe, commits to Ohio State already. I think Justin Hill, like, it'd be great if Vince could stay in that one, the Winton Woods kid. But, I mean, he's absolutely blown up. So
yeah, it's just Ohio State guy probably. So just got to kind of be realistic there.
He was with Dane Lanning over the weekend. But, like, it feels – Marquise Davis, they haven't really recruited Cleveland well. So I'm really, really top end. I'm worried about, but the guys underneath, I like Tucker Caddis. I like Raphael Green. I think one of those guys can be a tackle for you. I think there's a lot to like.
Jaden Clark's another guy that emerged this week. Clayton, Ohio, Northmont, high 3-star lineman. He's another guy like you really think they should be able to get. Not to cut you off there, but there's guys there.
Elsewhere, it feels like when I see the wide sort of swath they're cutting, you like where they stand for a lot of those guys. Like the other one, the kid from Withrow, Quentin Simmons.
Right.
I really like that kid's tape. He played for a pretty good team. There's a lot of connections. Like they can get that guy. And he can be a quality, kind of unheralded, under the radar, quote unquote recruit. In the state of Kentucky, if you take care of business, get Martellus Carter, who they seem to have some momentum for. Spike Sowles, that's going to be a big time recruitment, but they've got a puncher's chance there. So it just. It does feel like there's another high floor here. The one thing I don't know about is each class in this regard. Like you have to, if you want to have a top 25 class, you got to have your big time gets, your kind of anchors. They were in on B-Rob early. Smith twins move back. Cutter Bowie's in your home state. How many of those big time guys are they going to be able to get? A lot of it, I think, is going to come down to what's Wolford going to be able to bring you.
Yeah, I definitely think that's an unknown here with what targets emerge for you just because he's on your staff now.
And he had those Bama 2 years of recruiting there.
Right. Can you get a little bit of that Bama bump? You look at big-time targets, Nick. Andrew Marsh is going to be on campus tomorrow. He's top 20 player in the country, receiver from Houston. That's probably a pipe dream, but that you at least got him on campus. That's a big deal. Tavian Wallace is Trevin played here, his older brother. So you're going to have more than a puncher's chance there, but Georgia, Florida State have both made him priority recruits to this point in the cycle. That's going to be tough to win those. And then there's some others.
Amari Williams is kind of in that similar boat too, but
yeah. Dwayne Galloway's one I look at. Top 150 corner out of Columbus, Franklin. Mm-hmm. I'm not sure where Ohio State is there. So if Ohio State's lukewarm, that gives you an opportunity, right? Columbus is an area you've recruited well. Michigan's involved there, but Michigan has coaching changes. Like, to me, that could kind of be the Tyrion Nichols of this year. Vince, go in there, focus on him. Let's get this done. Mm-hmm. And then, obviously, Martellus Carter is a huge one in-state, top 200 player. And then Dontrell Glover is a kid that just decommitted from Alabama. He was committed there, but Georgia was number two in his recruitment, and he's an in-state guy for Georgia, so that could be tough. So
Mason Shore's the same way, right? Like these big guys. You mentioned the kid from Houston, though.
Get ready for the greatest roast of all time, the Roast of Tom Brady, a Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart, the seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for the Roast of Tom Brady, live only on Netflix.
I like what Dykel Shorts is doing, right? And that's with some of these new guys. Like, how much ground can they make up at a new school where – not only is Shorts hitting Texas, but he's hitting the Mid-Atlantic pretty hard with Cohen. And Cohen already has a little bit of pull up there that way. So if the new guys can get a couple big hits, then there is a lot of potential.
Right, and there's definitely going to be, like, surprises. Cam Dooley, Hardly Gilmore, ended up being four-star signees for Kentucky last year, and I don't know if either of them was on our radar as potential, like, big time gets for Kentucky at this point in the cycle. So there's always going to be those developments. But for Kentucky, Nick, you've kind of hit on it. You've got to own your state. It helps when you've got good, highly ranked players. So Martellus Carter's big in this class, and then you got to win some battles in Ohio. Kentucky signed two top 10 players in Ohio last year. Brian Robinson was a top 5 player. Yeah. In Ohio. So you got to go and get one or two of those type of players. And then we'll see what the other coaches can provide. Obviously, Wolford got a factor there. Chris Collins has had Kentucky close on some guys. Gotten guys on campus. Maybe this is a year where he breaks through on one or two kind of big top 300 players in the South. So this is an important point to see who they get on campus. But the bigger, I think, point in the calendar is those June official visits. There's always a couple guys that get on campus and it's like, oh, this guy's coming.
Jonathan Daniels.
I look at last year. Jonathan Daniels is one, but Kevin Haywood was another one they had scheduled to visit. He goes to Wisconsin first. He commits to Wisconsin on his visit. He ends up being a top 100 player, and he was a four-star guy at the time. So they're going to get some good players on campus. It's just, can they close on them? And that's really, we get a better feel for the board, I think, in June. Right now, it's just,
oh, they're spraying. Yeah.
It's head on a swivel season, right? Trying to figure out who they're interested in, what the realistic options for these players are at this point in the calendar, and seeing where Kentucky stacks and then where they need to go and what they need to find.
And J2 Centerfield asked, I think, a fair question. Is Wolford now the second best recruiter on the staff behind Vince? I think the answer is probably yes. But if you count the portal, then I would still put Liam Cohen first. Or not first, but I would put Cohen.
Vince Cohen, yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
Okay.
Because Cohen's ability to get quarterbacks and whatnot. But, yeah, The difference between Wolford and the other guys, though, is just the closing ability, right? And I know Nick Hall and Keontae didn't pan out. It's unfortunate, but Deion sure as hell did, right? So, yeah, you know, like that.
Yeah, the thing.
And did he do something with Berrion? Is there something with Central Tennessee there? Is that?
Yeah, he recruited Nashville for Kentucky. He recruited Nashville. Oh, he was like the point man in Nashville for a time.
All right. Okay.
I think with Wolford, what is also going to help, Nick, we've kind of mentioned these guys already. Tucker Caddis, Raphael Green, Spike Souls. Mm-hmm. He's going to help Vince. Those are all Vince guys because you're talking Louisville and two Cincinnati kids. Mm-hmm. He's going to help, I think, and help close and lock those down potentially. And those are three guys I think Kentucky wants and would take commitments from right now.
Yeah.
And so I think he's going to help close them down. All three, I believe, are going to be on campus this weekend. And so those are guys that you could potentially, I think, lock in early. Like, maybe not this spring, but summer officials. When they take those officials in summer, they're going to be ready to make their decision. And that could, you know, that could be your O-line class. Then you could just, you need to find a tackle, and then you're like, you feel good about your O-line class, mm-hmm. I think. Kentucky's kind of done the early legwork with all of those guys. Now they just got to close on them.
I got a feeling like it. I can see it now. You know, this is, you know, 1 week here and we're already throwing the parade for him, right? Can't you envision a world where Caddis and Green commit this weekend? Martellus Carter too. If I was going to pick any players to commit, it would be those three.
Yeah, the one thing about this weekend, it's usually like an in-state kid that they like, that they've given a green light, that maybe doesn't have a full, like, a bunch of other options. Like, Carter has a bunch of other options, so I don't know if he's going to be ready to pull that trigger. Mm-hmm. But you would look at, like, a potential in-state guy as maybe being someone like that. And I don't think Spike Soles is going to do that, Sal's. So that's usually, because didn't Hayes Johnson commit around this time last year, junior day?
Did Abiselm. I think Hayes did before. He was going to wait junior day, and he just did it. But then Abiselm did at junior day. I could see Caddis. If I'm power ranking anything, it would be
brother say I'll fight you unless you commit right now.
Yeah, kind of thing. Yeah, exactly. Which, man, I know we do the whole, like, if SEC coaches were, no, let's get a wrestling ring, let's get the Caddises out there, and who kicks the most ass? And we're getting Dad in there, too, because I bet Eric could kick as much ass as any of them.
Yeah, and he's got the other brothers committed, too.
Yeah, he'll be walking on next year. Which, by the way, if you ever see the Caddises out at the catwalk, nice as can be, don't be weird or anything. If you beware if you shake Eric Caddis's hand, though, Mr. Caddis. He's got some mitts on him, man. you might come away with a mangled hand is all I'm saying. All I'm saying here. Let's get to some more questions, shall we, Luckett? When's the spring game? What? Spring game? At what point do I start doing a daily countdown of the last time Kentucky played a spring game?
Well, I don't even wonder. It would have been Rich's year they played.
Yeah, we got the snow game.
Yeah. The last spring game with, like, a fun, festive crowd.
Oh, 5 years.
It's been a long time.
Yeah. It'd be 20.
Like, where you could actually tailgate.
Yeah.
Because, do you remember, you, me, Drew, and Freddie were partaking a little bit during the Winter is Coming spring game. And that it was gnarly. Outside. I mean, it was full on. Wasn't it full on snowing? Like, no, when we pulled up?
It was snowing. Like, I had the windshield wipers on going down Newtown Pike to the
snow. It was bad, man.
Oh, that was gnarly. Hope we have one. It would be funny, though, if they did all of this and they're like,
you know, it's going to happen. They'll have it and it'll get rained out. Like, thunderstorm.
Or they're just... let's see. What do we got here? I don't want to ask about the complete autonomy because I don't feel like dealing with it. Because really, I want to ask Stoops that question. I want to give him truth serum.
Yeah. I want to hear what Cohen's answer to that too.
Yeah. Because
when the time comes,
the nuance to it all, though, Luckett, is that is Stoops in his ear telling him what kind of plays to call? No, but
We've talked about this.
And like, it's Matt was tweeting about it the other night too. He's like, somebody should be on staff in charge of clock management. He says that quite a bit. My argument is that that's the head coach's only job is clock management. Like, that's your only in-game job. Your number one job is clock management. And also, do you go for it or not? Those are, like, your only decisions as a head coach in reality. The rest of it's delegating. So, like, are you at least telling Liam, when you're at the 40-yard line, it's 3rd and 6, are you telling him he's got 2 downs to get it? Or are you telling him you got to get it all here because we're punting? Like, what – that's really, I think, the big thing in all of this. But I will say it was interesting that we heard – while that was being said, Same interview, talked about the heavy hand. People forget about all the stuff with Cohen and more discipline on the offense.
Yeah.
Right? Eric Wolford, there's more discipline on the offense right there. I tell you what. It's going to be some more discipline. I tell you what.
Yeah. Yeah. I just don't know. You know, personnel decisions, discipline decisions, play calls, formations, like aggressive play calls. When are we going to go? Pace of play. Like, I just don't, like, I don't have, what does that mean? I don't think any offensive coordinator has complete autonomy because they're not the head coach of the football team, right? Like, they're not running the organization. Yeah. I don't have complete autonomy of KSR's football coverage because I'm not head of On Three, right? So I don't know that you can have that, but.
Yeah, like Peek's got the closest.
I think it sounds good. It sounds like something you should say.
It's like, Stephen Peek, you have complete autonomy of the KSR YouTube channel. But Peek, we got to do a podcast tomorrow. You know, like, it's just.
Right.
Yeah.
There's just so much that goes, like, when you say complete control of the offense, there's so much that goes into that.
And the other part of it, too, like, it is, you know, it's just like, we got to say nice, play nice, do the whole thing to get people And I told Maggie this too. I was proud of her. It's cool seeing her get to have that opportunity, right? It's like, you were just KSR intern and now you're, but that was Stoops doing his, like, I want to have this one big conversation and then I just want to move on and I don't want to say anything else about all this stuff. Right. That's what all that was.
Probably. Yes.
Yeah. They going to roll out Wolford anytime soon for us? I doubt it. You know?
I don't think so.
Yeah. So yeah, that's kind of where we're at, I think. Like, I think they just want to kind of move on. But you know what? I'm fine with it. They want to move on, I'll happily move on. I'll talk draft. I'll talk combine. I'll answer this question. Any website recs for someone who wants to nerd out on stats this offseason, especially if they don't require a sub? CFB stats is the main one.
Game on paper is a go-to for me.
Yeah.
CFB stats is very easy to use and informative.
Yeah. I would say those two are the big ones. PFF requires a sub, and, like, you know, a lot of those are, I get more value out of snap counts, but, like, you really need to know the ADOT.
On game on paper is they have, like, the advanced stat box score, so you can see all the, I think, whatever stat you want, EPA, success rate. It has it broken down, so you can, if you look, and it has it, I think it's got it color-coded, too, so you can see what's good and bad. So those are the two. What's Parker's?
Stats of War. Because he shared the
stat. He tweets out graphics all the time.
The one he tweeted out in the middle of the offensive line snafu about Kentucky blowing more run blocking assignments than
it was good timing on that.
The country. That was hilarious. Yeah, Kentucky, I think only 11 schools blew more run blocking assignments last year than Kentucky.
Yeah, and Parker does some work with, I think they pronounce it Sumer Sports. .com. They're about a year old. Guy left PFF and started it. Eric Eager. They do some good stuff. And, like, Ted Seth is a guy that does a lot of, like, NFL type stuff, NFL analytic graphs. He puts a ton of real nerdy stuff in there. That's not what you're trying to look for. And so
maybe we can get Parker on the pod. I know he's been on with Staples. So yeah, maybe we can do that this offseason. He can explain to us how advanced stats work. I think it'd be fun. This would be fun, too. Big Play Ray said that season ticket renewal holders, Orange Lot Parkers, were told they might get kicked out due to construction of the
USA. That was news to me. I did not know that until that was mentioned today on the board.
They can't do that. That's a huge lot, right? But he said it got me thinking, what lot will the official 11 personnel tailgates be next season? It would be fun if we had an official spot. Yeah, your St. X crew has a good spot that we make the unofficial roll call tailgate.
Yeah, that was college friends. Some say next guys, some other guys. But yeah, they I mean, they're right in the red lot.
Yeah, they got a good
spot. I know the KRC folks were there.
Yeah, TJ's not getting season tickets this year, though, because he's scared. He's no longer a fan, and he's also having a second kid, so he knows he's not going to be at all the games. but we will. So I don't know. Maybe that's something we can set up where it's just like, hey, we just hang out for an hour or so before
every game. Obviously, the bar. I would recommend that, too. Sometimes you can catch us there. We're watching games early, especially if it's a night game.
Yeah, if it's a night game, we're actually next door probably because next door is not as crowded. Which next door is great too.
We had a couple good afternoons inside the Kilt.
Yeah, they share the same kitchen. It's good stuff over there. Let's see. Humana. It sounds like Nick and his wife have been cooking with grease with the announcement on KRC. There's an additional baby on the way. If Kentucky were to beat Georgia next year, would they allow KS Board to name their baby? I was thinking it's a girl and that Deanna would be an appropriate name. Deanna, after Dion. I don't think my wife would be up for it. Now, if it's a boy, she's got a girl's name picked out that we've been, it's like our... It's in the bank, right? Like we're keeping it there for safekeeping. If it's a boy, I think it's fair game, right? We're open to all suggestions. So KS Board Q&A, KS Baby Q&A.
What's gonna happen if number three is a boy? You go boy, boy, boy out the chute.
Dude, it's gonna be freaking nuts over here. I'd be happy with it to an extent though, because they're only going to be a school year apart in classes. So, like, fifth and sixth grade basketball, I'm only dropping them off at one practice, right? So, that could be beneficial. It could be real beneficial. But it also is going
to
be
way ahead of high school. You just have the carpool situation. You don't even have to worry about it. Boom, boom.
Dude, I'm just imagining the amount of food. It's like, you remember how much food you ate. Three high school age boys. Like, that's just... Like
parents had to go and buy an outside refrigerator.
Yeah.
To store the food.
Oh, man.
Bought a deep freeze. Bought a deep freeze 1 year. Store all the frozen food.
I mean, I remember coming home and eating like...
my mom would just, five milk jugs at a time.
Yeah.
I mean, just going through some milk now.
Like, two bowls of cereal was a light snack. It's like a quarter milk and
it's like 10 o'clock before bed.
Yeah. Well, let me just get a light snack.
Little nightcap.
Big old, I will say though,
popcorn bowl of Fruit Loops.
Jethro Bodine bowl. Oh man. I am excited though. We got a cow coming our way. So we have a deep freezer and Brooks' family, we're splitting a cow. That's our Christmas gift.
My parents do that. That's a country thing. They get a cow from somebody. And
I've been slacking going to the grocery, and like tonight I just pulled whatever stuff was in the deep freezer. It was fried shrimp, French fries. It was like having the ability to just like get like some ground beef out of there, or like, what kind of steaks do we have in here? That's going to be the stuff right there. That's going to be the stuff. Couple more questions I want to hit on the NFL. Are we comfortable with the cornerback situation? Way too early take. Where's the quarterback pressure going to come from outside? Weaver or another? I'm not going to do the Brad White and say I'm not worried about pressure, but I've got very high hopes for Fearbury.
Yeah.
Right. And then the guys they've recruited, one of those guys is going to play.
When I write the most important individuals for Kentucky football in 2024, Tyrese Fearbury is going to be towards the top. He's got a huge role that they need him to fill as a edge rusher. And so I think a lot's banked on him. I think you turn on the Clemson tape and you can see some stuff. So for him, it's a big year. So they're going to need him for that.
I don't know if I'm comfortable with it yet, but I've convinced myself that I never thought Max Harrison was going to play here. I thought he was going to be like Adrian Huey. You had all of these just like guys where you're like, all right, is this guy going to amount to anything? I think they'll find another one. It's just the depth there. You know, we'll find out in spring. Do these transfers, does the light bulb turn on now that they're a little bit older and they've got some actual game snaps? Because I do think that's part of it, is just playing in zone, is having a feel for where you're supposed to be, drop into those zones. So I'm not there yet to answer your question, Mr. Nose Whistle. But I do think that I'm a little bit more confident than I probably should be, considering what the past defense did last fall.
I think just from an experience, snap count situation, they're in better shape than they were last year. But I do think they probably want another guy there. So the starter might not be on campus. Yeah, he's an early enrollee.
All right, let's bet on him too. I got some stonks in Tyrion Nichols.
Yeah, I mean, because just in general, athletic profile-wise, J.Q. Hardaway and Jansen Dunn are not guys I would say just forget about. I think both those guys, if the light comes on, if they really hit an extra gear in this offseason, they could be good players here. And so I think they have options, but I think they probably want another option on top of that. Because they don't want to end up being in a situation like last year, Nick, where it was just like, throw your hands up. Like, what the hell are we going to do? So I think they'll have a higher floor this year, but I am worried about the ceiling at this point.
One thing I'm not worried about is cashing tickets with the FanDuel Sportsbook on Super Bowl Sunday, less than 2 weeks away. Happy Super Bowl, everybody. I know that all of you are going to be seated on the couch, grabbing your favorite snacks, placing some bets. Well, do you have a favorite Super Bowl wager, or do you bet on it like any other game?
I just bet on it like a regular game. I haven't really. I'll do some squares probably with some friends on the side, but
see, I like the betting the coin toss, just because it's like the dumbest. It's just so stupid, but it's
I will say this. The loser of the coin toss has lost 7 straight Super Bowls.
Really?
7 or 8, yeah.
Well, here's another fun fact. 16 of the last 19 teams to wear white have won the Super Bowl. 49ers are wearing white. Also, one of those teams that lost wearing white, it was the 49ers the last time they played the Chiefs.
That's right.
So, the Chiefs are running it back, same uniforms. I think that's fascinating. I will be using a no-sweat single-game parlay with our friends at FanDuel. Love those. And it was a damn – it was horseshoes and hand grenades for me, Luckett, where I was 10 yards off on single-game parlays in both the championship games that had greater than 10-to-1 odds. And one of them was a Rashee Rice reception that got called back. It would have hit, but it got called back on a holding call. So I was all over it. I'm going to try to win big with FanDuel. You can win big with FanDuel when you sign up using the promo code PERSONNEL. New customers join today. You'll get $200 in bonus bets if your first bet of $5 or more wins. That's FanDuel.com/PERSONNEL to sign up, or promo code PERSONNEL when you download that FanDuel Sportsbook app. Make every moment matter more this Super Bowl with FanDuel, an official sportsbook of the NFL. 21 and present in Kentucky. First online real money wager only. $10 first deposit. Required bonus issued as non-withdrawable bonus bets, which expires 7 days after receipt. Restrictions apply. See terms at sportsbook.fanduel.com. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Whew. Like it. I wasn't kidding, though. Like, it really bummed me out how close I was on those games. And I also had Lions money line locked in beforehand. So the first half, I was like, hoo-hoo-hoo-hoo! And I couldn't hedge out of it. You know, I was already committed. I did, though. Well, this happened to me. I remember it happening in the third quarter of the 28-3 game, being like, why do I keep hating on Tom Brady? Like, I'm witnessing greatness. I got to cheer for it. Wasn't the same case with Mahomes, but I got him at -6.5 live. FanDuel had a boost for me. I took it. I ran with it. I got him at plus money. and I got some of the money back from betting against them. So, as soon as the line came out, it was plus 2.5 Chiefs. I just took them on the money line. I said, I'm not doing this anymore. Didn't go heavy or anything like that, but we're going to preview it much more, but like, the Chiefs have actually looked really good, and their defense is playing very well as well. And I know some of that is on our boy Lamar doing what he does best and fumbling and crumpling in big games. But you got to give Spag some credit for the way that defense has been playing in the last few weeks.
Yeah, I don't think for the Chiefs, defense has been one of the better defenses in the NFL all year. Offensively, they just Mahomes has just kind of taken over, and Andy Reid has showed why he's awesome. And so you have to give them credit, I think, winning those games on the road. Now, I think that was a big time. I don't know how else to call it, not the choke job, offensively from the Ravens in that game.
Yeah.
Like, you just totally quit on the run. They were spying Lamar, but you just got to let him run. Like, let him take that linebacker on one-on-one. I think they just totally went away from that. They tried to make Lamar a drop-back passer. And their receivers, the guys they paid this offseason, Odell was a ghost out there.
No show.
Aguilar had, a drop early and then was nothing. And then, you know, they were playing Andrews, but he was playing hurt.
Yeah.
And so
Zay Flowers is young. He made some young mistakes, right?
And Zay Flowers just said, you cannot fumble there. Man, you just cannot fumble there in that situation. Like, reaching the ball out, it's not worth it. You cannot fumble there. I think offensively, they really let them down. I think defensively, Mike McDonald showed you why he is a effing dude, a defensive coordinator. Again, they didn't force turnovers, but how many? They kept getting stops, kept getting stops, kept getting stops, kept getting stops after falling behind early.
They stopped Mahomes 7 times.
But I do give the Chiefs credit because they had to start fast to win that game. There was no, like, it was going to be really hard because once the Ravens, when they've had McDonald, once they figure you out defensively, they just put the clamps on you. They are really good on defense. And so KC landed the haymakers early, and that ended up being enough to win the game.
But here's the other thing, Luckett. That's why I still think the Chiefs. That Baltimore defense, I know the Niners have some dudes, right?
But it's not the same. They're not as good.
I mean, in the Lions, they got shut out, but they moved the ball the entire second half. It's just
Lions are good on offense.
When they got into scoring opportunities, they didn't convert, right? Josh Reynolds dropped some critical passes. I would like to give you the opportunity now to just tell everybody that Dan Campbell was right. He should have gone for it.
Okay, let's just draw the situation up. It's 24-10? What was the score? 24-10?
They had a 14-point lead.
Yes,
the Niners had just kicked a field goal to make it a 14-point game. So they could have kicked another field goal to go up 17, but it was 4th and 2 or 3.
Nick, as a person who has watched probably a lot of Lions this year, he's probably bet games, their defense is an issue.
Huge issue.
Their secondary is a massive issue. If Hutchinson cannot rush the passer, they are in trouble. Derek Barnes, who'd been one of their better players in the playoffs.
Got the interception at the end of the game the week before.
Got hurt the first series of this game. So Dan Campbell knows his team. It's 24-10, middle of the third quarter. It's 4th and 2. Your best asset is your offensive play caller and your offense. So he went for the win there. I do not blame him on that. If they score a touchdown there, the game is over. It's a 21-point lead with 17 minutes left. The Niners just aren't going to get the possessions at that point to come back unless Detroit turned it over. I do not blame them for that. Now, rookie fumbles the next possession.
You have and
Brock,
part too,
like Brock Purdy doesn't even have to really drop back and pass to beat them. They drop a pick, right? They fumble, and then the game's tied. So then it's just then you're back to square one, and they have momentum there. So then they're down 3. They're in the middle of the fourth quarter. Here's why I don't blame him doing this. Again, your defense could not stop was not going to stop them. They were going to drive down and get in field goal range. Mm-hmm. So I don't blame him going for that at the end, because that was going to force the Niners to have to go and score a touchdown. So I don't think he – I think that both decisions were right. And they had a backup kicker too. I think people aren't really recognizing that. That kicker is not their guy. They had to go pick that guy up, and he's under 50% on field goals plus 40 yards.
I just find it fascinating that people are more quick to jump Dan Campbell than the guy who had the ball bounce off his face mask and into Brandon Ayuk's hands. I mean, that was basically the Jeff Bidette, the opposite of the Jeff Bidette play from the Georgia game in 2016, right?
Yeah. I find it funny that we're doing the math versus football guy thing with Dan Campbell making these decisions.
It is funny.
I mean, they're risk, like, they're not slam dunks. They're risky decisions, but I think he did the right thing. And Reynolds was open. It wasn't a great throw from Goff, but that's a catch he should make.
Hit him in the hands. Yeah. And another thing too is they've done it all year, so it's not like the players, like, they were mentally.
Yeah, I feel like a lot of that, Nick, were just people that haven't watched the Lions all year. If you've been watching,
you knew they were going for it. Yeah,
the Dallas game, the SOB went for it three times down there when they had the ineligible. That's just that's just who they are and what they do and what they believe in. I don't have a problem with it. You know, I don't think that's what cost them the game. I really don't. I think they went for the win, and we get on coaches all the time and not being aggressive enough when you can go win the game. Mm-hmm. Like, that was it. Like, they were like, we're winning this thing right now. And they swung and missed.
It was
and the guy dropped an interception, and then they fumbled, and then the game was the Niners won. I mean, that's what happened.
The one thing that Dan Campbell does get credit for criticism, the timeout after running the ball.
If you want to, that one's fine. Again, I think he what was it? At the 2 yard line with their old line, they trusted them to get in, and they didn't.
Just run back to the line and run a play. Like, you can't. Yeah. You can't turn a timeout.
Yeah, I'm right there with you on that. Yeah. I'm right there with you on that. But yeah, I don't fault him for going for it. I like both of the calls. Like, if that was a fan of that team, I would have liked both of those situations with their kicker situation and what their defense is.
You would also be dead inside right now if you were a fan of their team, because that is
– yeah.
They are so close to the Super Bowl, and then for it to fall apart, that was a very Lions and sadly a very Kentucky football.
Yeah, it opened up for them too, right? They get two home games. They play a San Francisco team that hasn't played well. I mean, they're winning these games. You got to give them credit, but hasn't really played well. You had them right where you wanted them and just couldn't finish the deal.
We'll break down more of the Super Bowl next week on Pigskin Preview. We'll also have new 11 personnel next week, which I guess we're back on Thursday. Yeah. So, hell, we'll double dip. Well, Thursday twofer on the KSR YouTube channel. It's been a lot of fun. We're going to have a lot of football content too. Like I said, interviewing the new transfer portal players on Wednesday. We'll probably sprinkle those videos in throughout. They're going to be talking for 90 minutes, so you don't need it all at once.
Going to be some information overload for sure.
Yeah, we'll say we got to work Sundays, right? So we'll save some of that content for then. But should be a fun weekend. Really need the Vols to take out their suck it and suck it. Need them to lose. They did end up losing, right?
Yes, they did.
Okay, need them to get on a losing streak here. Need the Cats to get a big W on Saturday. Really just hate Tennessee now. Hate them today. Hate them tomorrow. Hate them forever. But we love you. We appreciate you following along and subscribing. Thanks to all of our great sponsors out there. Look, thanks to you too, buddy. This was a fun show. Fun Q&A.
I enjoy it, as always.
Had a lot of great questions on KS Board, too. So appreciate everybody. For Adam Luckett, I'm Nick Roush. Go Cats, and go Kroger.